In other news from the continent, several African countries have reached a deal on a one-time sale of their ivory stock. The trade's been banned since 1989. As part of the deal, they also agreed to a 9-year freeze on future ivory sales. The compromise comes after weeks of fierce debate at the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, or CITES. Critics of the sale came from several mostly East African nations and argued that any ivory trade would increase poaching and fuel a global black market. But 4 Southern African nations claimed they have rising elephant populations and an abundance of ivory. For more, I spoke with Simon Hedges, an elephant expert with the Wildlife Conservation Society. He attended the convention and described how the deal was struck.
It was a long and protracted argument, I think, would be the best way to characterise it, over the full 3 weeks of argument in The Hague. It started off with what was called the dialogue meeting between the African elephant range states, which are the states which have elephants. Then it went into the actual 2-week conference of parties to the CITES agreement.
Which African nations are the most involved in the discussion from the standpoint of those that have the largest herds of elephants?
Botswana, Namibia, and South Africa are the leading countries, along with Zimbabwe, who wish to trade ivory from their elephant populations.
Were they in agreement? Were they in unison, those countries that you just named, with regard to the compromise and the position that they ultimately took?
To a large extent, yes, they were. There were some minor differences, but on the whole, they formed a bloc who were in quite heated debate with the anti-trade bloc, which was largely led by Kenya.
There are some who think that the 9 years, the term of this compromise, is not really long enough, and that 20 years would have been more desirable. How did they reach this figure of 9 years?
I think it was purely by arguing backwards and forwards and kind of reaching a halfway point between, almost a halfway between having a 20-year moratorium, so-called, and no moratorium at all.
One of the arguments that's come out publicly from the compromise and from the convention was that some are saying that legal sales of ivory would decrease poaching, and others are saying it will have just the opposite effect because of the increased interest and demand on the black market. Are you aware of any data that supports either of those positions?
The fear has always been that a legal trade, particularly a quota, an annual quota of a certain amount of ivory being sold per year, would facilitate the laundering of illegal ivory from other countries. While that's a reasonable position, there's not a lot of data to back that up or to disprove it. One of the real problems which characterises the whole ivory debate is there aren't particularly good data on either side, either the pro or the anti-ivory trade side, which means that a lot of the arguments are based on opinion and not really on good hard quality data.
Well, the deal allows sales to Japan, even though there's interest in ivory globally, particularly from places like China. Why Japan?
There were two countries, as you say, Japan and China, who were very interested in buying the ivory. And under the various restrictions which the CITES secretariat had imposed on the trade, both China and Japan had to be inspected over the last few years to see whether they had various safeguards in place to convince the international community, for example, that the ivory wasn't going to be resold on to other countries and a number of other conditions. Japan had met those tests. The Secretariat had decided that actually it had improved its safeguards. And on the other hand, China, while it had been making some progress, it was decided that it hadn't made enough progress and there were still some concerns about illegal ivory trade, re-exporting ivory from China, for example, including into the United States. There's quite a large amount of ivory going from China into the U.S.
This arrangement deals specifically with African elephants. What, though, can you tell us about Asian elephants? Is there some connection between the attempt to control the poaching of tusks from African elephants as opposed to Asian?
Yes, indeed. And one of the big fears that those of us who work on Asian elephants, like myself, have is that poaching for ivory can be boosted by the sales, legal or illegal, from African states. Quite a lot of the ivory purchasers prefer Asian ivory because it's supposedly higher quality. So there are fears that if there's a legal trade, particularly an annual quota trade from Africa, that could allow illegal trade from Asian countries to be camouflaged and more easily escape checks and under the cover of the legal trade from Africa.
There's two things I want to approach with you, but before I get to the second one, let me ask this first. With regard to how ivory is now being used commercially and globally, how is it being used primarily?
It's primarily being used for a variety of craft purposes, carvings, name seals, and things like that.
Now, the second part of that is this. Since we know how they are used, I think it's important to mention to the audience how ivory is received from, or taken, actually, from elephants. Can you describe what happens?
Well, elephants are often shot or speared, and not only for their ivory, but quite often now for bush meat, for their meat as well. In fact, in Central Africa, where a lot of the ivory is coming from, the illegal ivory, bush meat trade, the trade in elephant meat, is actually in some areas just as important a driving force as the ivory trade. And pygmies in some cases are, in Central Africa, are the hunters who are themselves being exploited. The middlemen will buy the ivory off of the ivory poachers for a pack of cigarettes, maybe, or other very low value items are swapped or are traded for the ivory. So it's quite astonishing that magnificent animals are being slaughtered for very small returns to the actual people who are doing the deed.
While those people are getting the small return, how much money is being made, black market or otherwise, with regard to the marketing of ivory?
Prices range between about 100 US dollars per kilo to about 700 or 800 US dollars per kilo, depending on the particular market we're talking about.
Final thing, is there a place in the world where ivory is at a particular premium, for example, in Europe or in the States or in Asia?
Hong Kong is a particularly important market, and obviously China and Japan are very major markets. Thailand also has a large market.
Simon, thank you very much for coming on. The information is very valuable, and we appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Simon Hedges is an elephant expert with the Wildlife Conservation Society. He spoke with us from the BBC in Kendal, England.